This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host for a beginning end of the week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. And it's my great delight to have with us today a good friend and a scholar, André Villeneuve, who's a professor of Old Testament and Biblical Languages at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit. And I've asked André to join us this week to talk to us about Israel and talk to us. He knows a lot about the whole story and the salvation, the call of the people of Israel and Israel's relationship, the Jewish people's relationship to the church and God's covenant. So we just want to touch on some of these things. I think it's going to be an exciting week. Welcome, Dr. André.
Thank you, Peter. Good to be here.
Yeah, I'm so glad to have you here. Why don't you give our listeners just a little background of your own story, your own life, kind of how you're connected to this subject about Israel anyway, you know?
Sure, of course. It's a long story, but I'll give you the short version.
Yeah.
So I grew up in Ottawa, Canada, in a Catholic family, but I kind of drifted off in my early 20s until I moved abroad and I studied in Austria. I was studying jazz saxophone. This was my previous life in a jazz school in Graz, Austria. And there I had a conversion to Christ through an evangelical, bit of a fundamentalist church. I also went to Bosnia and Croatia during the war in the 90s back then. So I joined up with a little Christian organization. I started asking myself questions about life and about suffering and about God and about all that. And so I came to Christ through this little evangelical church. And pretty soon I kind of was on fire about the gospel. I understood this is what life is about. And I wanted to go study the scriptures and just deepen my newfound faith. So I prayed about it. I looked at various options as I completed my music degree in Austria, and the best option was to move to Jerusalem and study the Bible there, because it always was obvious to me from the very moment, first moment of my conversion, was that if all this thing about the Bible is true, if Jesus is true, well, all this happened in a certain place, all this, God revealed himself in the land of Israel, both Old and New Testament, and Jesus not only was a Jew, but is a Jew before he's a Catholic, you know. I don't even know if you can say that Jesus is a Catholic, but he's definitely a Jew, you know? So I moved to Israel and thinking I would go for a year of studies there. And lo and behold, 1 year turned into 12. So I spent 12 years of my life in Israel, mostly in Jerusalem, a little bit in Tel Aviv as well. Started off with 5 years. I did study at this Messianic Jewish Bible College. I volunteered for various organizations, including the International Christian Embassy, which is a Christian Zionist organization, mostly evangelical Christians building bridges between Israel and the church and raising awareness among, when I say the church back then, it was more evangelical churches, about the importance of Israel and God's plan of salvation. And so that has remained with me since then, even though I definitely rethought all of that when I came back into the church. So after my first 5 years in Israel, I moved to Steubenville, Ohio, where I did my master's in theology. And after that, I returned back to Jerusalem, where I continued on with a PhD at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. So I completed, after a long 7 years, my PhD in religious studies and focusing on scripture and the nuptial mystery in scripture, the relationship of love between God and his people. So throughout this whole time, oh, I forgot to say this relatively important step. During my first stay in Israel, I made my way back into the church. Actually, through studying Judaism and the early church and through studying scripture, I started becoming a little bit bothered about the inconsistencies in evangelical Protestant Christianity and also within Messianic Judaism. A lot of really exciting things happening there, but there's also, let's put it this way, doctrinal chaos, as we know, is kind of the symptom we find in Protestantism at large, and even more so among Messianic Jews, because there's no, obviously, there's no magisterium, there's no central authority. So with only the Bible, it becomes very difficult to have certainty about what really to believe and how to live. So long story short, I made my way back into the church. And at that point, I really asked myself, okay, I spent basically 7 years as an evangelical. What do I need to jettison, and what do I take with me into the Catholic Church? Not in a cafeteria Catholic type of way, but in the sense of what is true, what is really authentically true, biblical, and part of the Christian tradition that I made my own as an evangelical, and what do I need to revisit and rethink, and what can I take with me and what do I need to leave behind when I become a Catholic from these years as an evangelical? So obviously one of the big ones was Israel. I was at this point a fervent Christian Zionist. I believe very much that Israel had a place in God's plan of salvation, that God was not done with Israel. So I had to kind of check out what does the Catholic Church have to say about that. And there were a lot of opinions in Israel that the Catholic Church was fundamentally anti-Semitic. It was fundamentally very rooted in supersessionism, the idea that the church has displaced the Jewish people as God's covenant people, things that I just didn't agree and I think were irreconcilable with Scripture. So I had to think these through, and to be honest, it was a bit of work because sometimes you need to dig a little bit to find out what the church actually teaches about something, as opposed to the various opinions that are held among Catholics on a more popular level. So I became quite convinced that it is absolutely compatible with the Catholic faith to hold to a moderate view of Zionism, to understand that God still has a plan for the Jewish people, that God is in the process of returning the Jewish people back to the land he promised to the patriarchs and to throughout the entire Bible, in fact, not just the Old Testament, but also the New Testament.
Is that what's meant essentially by Christian Zionism? Basically, yeah. Just what you said?
Yeah, so what's Zionism? It's a word that gets a lot of flack because it's even demonized nowadays. But what is Zionism? It's really not rocket science. It's the idea that the Jews have a very deep, lasting connection with the land of Israel, that it doesn't imply any kind of political stance, let alone, you know, a stance in the conflict in the Middle East today. But it basically says that, yes, Jews have a place in the land of Israel. They have a connection that is deeply grounded in the Bible. Though you also have many Zionists who are not religious at all, and so they see it more as a cultural, historical connection of the people of Israel to the land of Israel. Mm-hmm. So I definitely think that every Catholic should embrace a Zionism understood in this way.
Yeah. Well, who, in kind of a nutshell, start at the beginning, who is Israel?
Who is Israel? That's the million-dollar question.
Where does the name come from and connected to the land and all that? Yeah,
yeah. So I tend to say in jest sometimes that really God is the first Zionist, because God is the author of the name Israel. We know that Israel is originally Jacob, so Abraham's grandson. And he had this struggle with the angel in the book of Genesis. And after the struggle with the angel, actually a couple of times, the Lord says to him, your name shall no longer be Jacob, it shall be Israel. Actually, the root of the word is a little bit obscure. El, we know, is God. But what is the root for Israel? It's not entirely clear. And some say it has to do with struggle, like it's kind of contending with God, which makes sense given the struggle of Jacob with the angel that really defined his identity. And then, of course, the 12 sons of Jacob will become the fathers of the 12 tribes of Israel. And so at the end of the book of Genesis, we see basically the birth of Israel in the tribe of Jacob. And by the time we get to the book of Exodus, we see these people who have multiplied greatly in Egypt now, where they are enslaved. And so the story of Israel is the story of God's redemption of this people whom he has formed for the sake of revealing himself to the whole world. So Israel is God's original chosen people.
And just how much about the land is in the Old Testament? How much is spoken about from God's perspective about this specific land and
Nonstop.
Yeah, nonstop, yeah.
Nonstop, pretty much. I mean, first there's the question of land in Hebrew. It's Eretz, and it's actually, we have different words in English for the world, or the earth and the land, the earth as in planet Earth, but in Hebrew that distinction doesn't exist. So in a certain sense, we hear of the land or the earth from Genesis 1, but when we speak of the land of Israel, which was formerly the land of Canaan, it really begins with Genesis 12, with the call of Abraham to leave Mesopotamia or the Chaldeans and basically begin to settle what used to be the land of the Canaanites. And there are still sojourners throughout the book of Genesis, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's only after the Exodus that they are given this divine commandment to possess the land as an everlasting possession. So we hear of the promises of the land throughout Genesis, beginning with Genesis 12 through the end of Genesis. And then the whole momentum of the Exodus, the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, everything is directed towards the destination of entering the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession. It's constantly said and emphasized, not just as some kind of a temporary stop until I establish the church, says God, but as an everlasting possession that will never be revoked. And then Israel, of course, to some degree, the possession of the land is conditional, because they have to be righteous to possess the land. But the prophets again and again and again say, yes, you can be exiled from the land, but the Lord your God will return you back to the land that he promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, even if you fall into grave sin and idolatry. So this promise has to do more with the character of God than the faithfulness of Israel. The faithfulness of God versus the sin and failures of Israel.
What exactly is the geographic boundary of the land originally? And especially, there's a lot of debate. There's certainly, there's constant fighting over the land and all the rest. What's your understanding of what Scripture's teaching?
Yeah, according to Scripture, it's a little bit unclear because you have boundaries that are given in the book of Numbers. You have the prophet Ezekiel who gives slightly different boundaries. And so we can't know for sure, but a few things are kind of sure. I mean, on the west side, it's pretty clear you have the Mediterranean, so that there's pretty clear consensus which starts with the Mediterranean. It usually excludes the Sinai Peninsula. So there, too, you have kind of a relatively clear border down to what is today the Red Sea. And then in the north, you have Lebanon, and on the east, you have the Jordan River. So even though the biblical boundaries do include more than it goes further east. It includes large parts of Syria and Jordan today. But traditionally, basically, the Jordan has been seen as a kind of a de facto boundary for the land of Israel, even though that's not super clear in Scripture.
The people of Israel, where does the name the Jews come from?
Yeah, sometimes we see them as interchangeable, Israel and the Jewish people. And today it's essentially true. I think the two are interchangeable. But the Jews really originally go back to the tribe of Judah, one of the 12 tribes. So when we speak technically of the Israelites, we're talking about the entire people of the 12 tribes. 10 of them were exiled by the Assyrians in 722 BC, and they were by and large lost. And then you only had two or three tribes in the south, so Judah, Benjamin, and then some of the Levites. And they were exiled by the Babylonians in 586 BC, and only they really returned to the land of Israel after the exile. And kind of Benjamin became merged into the Judahites. And so when you read the Bible, you actually don't read the term Jews up until after the exile, the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, and that's when you hear about the Jews. And so de facto, basically, the Jews became a synonym for Israel after the exile.
We just have a couple of minutes, a couple other definitional things. We've got so much to talk about this week, but what's a Christian Zionist and what's a Messianic Jew?
Okay, a lot of definitions.
Yeah.
So first, a Zionist, as we said, is anyone who supports the right of the Jewish people to live in the Holy Land, so in the land of Israel today. So you can be a Zionist of any persuasion. You can be a Jewish Zionist or you can be a Christian Zionist, meaning that you're a Christian who believes in the whole Christian kerygma and message, but you still believe that Jews have some kind of attachment to the land of Israel, which you may say it's divinely mandated or definitely biblically mandated. What's a Messianic Jew? A Messianic Jew is a Jew who believes in Jesus. And so they tend to not say we are Christians. They tend to say Jesus was a Jew, the apostles were Jews, therefore I as a Jew believe in the Jewish Messiah, whom we call Yeshua, and I do not forsake my Jewish identity when I come to faith in Jesus.
Do they have a visible presence in Israel? Messianic Jews? Is there congregations?
Oh, very much. And they've grown quite a bit. And so you might say ever-increasing presence in Israel. They were just a handful in 1948, probably less than 100. And now there are several thousands.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, we do have a lot to talk about this week. I'm really glad that you could be with us, Andre. You have a really good website that I want to make sure before the program's over, you can mention to people. Tell us a little bit about your website and how they can reach you. We just have a few seconds left.
Yeah, so it's Catholics for Israel. So catholicsforisrael.com. And kind of our motto is loving Israel, loving Messiah, loving the church. And so it's to raise awareness of the place of Israel in God's plan of salvation for Christians, to testify that we believe that Jesus or Yeshua is the Messiah of Israel, and for Messianic Jews to also testify and point to the church as having the fullness of the salvation that God revealed in Christ.
Very good. Friends, hope you can join us again tomorrow. We have a lot to talk about this week. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.